June 14th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. This is a brand new email address. I am no longer using the Spingola1 at yahoo.com. Yahoo wants to record everything that we're doing to spy on us, so and they've also been giving me problems the last couple of days, so I'm leaving them. So remember, the email address is comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. In May 1933, Bernard Ritter, a businessman, and William J. Margreave, a journalist, interviewed Adolf Hitler, who said, and I quote, "We have excoriated Jewish communism, and we will never again let Bolshevism raise its hydra head. As far as freedom of the press for the Marxist, for the Jewish Marxist press is concerned, we are determined to rid Germany of this cancerous growth." Unquote. Hitler said that asked the gentleman if the American press would print and disseminate the truth. Ritter replied that America did not have, and I quote, "complete freedom of the press," unquote. Hitler asked, "Should a nation of 60 million suffer destruction because 6 million have already been led astray by the Jewish communistic poisoners of our people? Where was the conscience of the world when millions of Germans suffered hunger and death? When more than 200,000 Germans were driven to despair and suicide?" Hitler, unquote. Hitler continued, and I quote, "I asked President Roosevelt and the American people, who believe themselves justified because of the atrocity stories, in sympathizing with these Jewish Bolshevist demons, I asked them, are you prepared to harbor among you those who have poisoned the wells of Germany, of the whole Christian world?" Hitler went on to, unquote. Hitler went on to explain, and I quote, "What does the world know of the misery of intellectual German youth during the last 15 years? Now, remember, he said this on in May of 1933. And again, I go on. "On completion of their studies, they have for years had to accept the fate of beggars. There were no Jews in that vast army of unemployed, whereas 100,000 German academicians died on the streets or committed suicide. Shall I allow thousands of Germans to be destroyed so that all of the Jews may continue working undisturbed to live and grow fat while millions of Germans may be driven to despair and Bolshevism by hunger? Should the German youth be sacrificed to these foreigners? No, never." Unquote. Alrighty, we're going to a quick break, and we will be right back with our guest today, Mike King. Stay tuned.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Mike King. His website is tomatobubble.com. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Oh, thank you, Deanna. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's very nice to have you on the program. I particularly like, and I think it's quite relevant today, the comment by Aesop, it was actually by Edward Gibbon, where he talks about a man and a lion, and I thought, well, this is very appropriate for what you may be talking about today, is that it all depends on whose perspective you look at something. And if you were to look at the lion, well, he has quite a different perspective than the man.
Well, that's right. That's in the introduction to my work, NWO Forbidden History. It's actually Aesop's Fable of the Lion and the Man. There's a statue of a man wrestling a lion to the ground. And as a man and a lion walk past that statue, the man says to the lion, "Have a look at that statue. That proves that we're superior to you." And the lion responds, "Well, if we lions made statues, the man would be depicted on the bottom."
Exactly. And I think we can relate that or apply it to history. It depends on who's writing the story, the victorious allies or the victims who were bombed into smithereens. Now, you are the author, and you've mentioned this, of New World Order, NWO, Forbidden History, 1763 to 1816. And this is available at your website, and that website, again, is tomatobubble.com, and I'm certain that a lot of our listeners have already visited that website. How did you get that name? What made you use that name?
Well, there was a, one of the first stories posted was the allegory of the Great Tomato Bubble, which is also still available, of course. And it briefly describes how the central banking scam works in the form of an allegory involving a group of tomato farmers who are tricked into a poker game. And the dealer is a crook who's essentially printing notes and injecting it into the poker game. It's a very simple illustration, and once you read that essay, it's pretty fun and entertaining, too. You'll understand how the central banking scam works. It's called the Great Tomato Bubble. So that's where the website got its unusual name. And over the years, other pieces were added to it. Main one being NWO Forbidden History, which is 250 years of conspiratorial history. That can be read really in just a couple hours. It's just a distillation of a vast amount of information designed for any beginner to come up to speed. It starts at 1763 with the formation of the Rothschild dynasty, and it takes you all the way up to 2013. There's about 400 brief, very brief essays, 500 illustrations. I mean, a child can read this and essentially acquire a PhD in conspiratorial history studies.
Okay, but the name of it is 1763 to 1816, or is it 2013?
Well, no, that's just the at the website, it's broken up into 10 segments.
Okay.
The first one is 1763 to 1816, then it goes from 1816 to 1880 and so on.
Okay.
Takes you all the way up
got
until it. The present day.
Okay, got it. You've broken it up. All right, but that is the title of the first part. Okay, and you have a lot of pictures, which is very good, which makes it a very quick read, and it helps people to be able to relate visually, because most, I think, 75% of the population learn best through visually through images, and so you have provided a lot of images and graphs and things like that, charts and whatnot, so that people can actually go through this, like you say, in a couple of hours. Now, people can acquire this by doing what? By going to your website and...
Yes, they can visit tomatobubble.com, and there's a ton of material that's available there to read. And then there's also some PDF versions. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but definitely... I would urge people, if they're interested in this topic that we're talking about today, they can go directly to the World War II pages of Forbidden History. But I would suggest starting from the very beginning if you really want to gain a strong foundation. Take it back to the Rothschilds in 1763.
Right.
But like you said, it's designed. Everything in the website is designed to engage somebody who... maybe perhaps not so much your listeners, but the typical American who has a limited attention span. It's brief blurbs and essays and pictures, and it really captures the attention. Tomatobubble.com.
Absolutely. I think I visited your website the first time maybe 2 years ago, and it's always been, I bookmarked it then. And on the left-hand side, you can just click on whichever link you want to. And we're going to be talking about World War II today, which would be part one, because there's two parts. I mean, World War II. Well, World War I is very essential to understanding World War II. But it's just your website is very colorful and, as you say, user-friendly. And so for a long time, you didn't have all of this in a PDF format. But now you do, which I think is wonderful.
Yeah, well, I received a tremendous amount of positive feedback on the site over the past 2 years. And included in that were numerous requests. Why don't you put this on PDF so it's easier to read? I could print it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a project that we recently completed. So now it is available on PDF, also as a downloadable Word doc. There's even a hard copy version if people want. So.
Right.
But it's definitely even more convenient to read.
Right. Absolutely. Totally agree with you. All righty. So we're going to talk about World War II. And, of course, I personally believe that World War II started in the spring of 1933. It didn't start on September 1 of 1939.
Certainly the drive to destroy Germany began in 1933 as soon as Hitler took office. I mean, that same week, there was a massive demonstration in Madison Square Garden, 40,000 Jews and other assorted communists screaming their heads off against Germany that same week. And there's at the website, you could even see a front page of the New York Daily News of this event. But to really understand the origins, I mean, you could go back to the 1870s, really, and
sure.
Look at the desire of British commercial interests, as well as the Rothschild and the forces of the New World Order seeking to subdue the New Germany. But, you know, we've got time constraints. At the very least, we've got to touch upon World War One and its aftermath.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
So, what
I'd like to say about World War One is it's critical to understand that that war was forced upon Germany, totally. It was a war of German self-defense. The Kaiser was the only European leader who at the 11th hour was trying to avert the catastrophe. So that's very important to understand. Germany bears no responsibility neither for World War One nor World War Two.
Right. In fact, Colonel Edward Mandel House went over there and was chatting with all of the leaders of all of the European countries, and he talked with the Kaiser, and he admitted that he was the only European leader who did not want to engage in a war. And I can't remember the exact dates that House was over there, but he left America in 1914 and spent probably 3 months over there. And yet there was still a war. Still went to war, and afterwards, of course, they blamed Germany for it.
Yeah, not only first they tricked Germany into an unnecessary surrender. For most of the war, Germany was winning. There was not one square inch of German territory that was under occupation.
Right.
It was only when the Americans were duped into the war that the tide began to turn. But even then, Germany was not under occupation. It's important to note that America was manipulated into this war by a very dirty deal that was cut between the leaders of international Zionism and the British government. Germany was in total control of the situation, and they were proposing peace. Peace with favorable terms. Basically, let's stop the war and go back to the way things were. The Zionists went to the British. They said, listen, you don't have to take their deal. You could still win this war. We can use our influence to bring America into the war. And you have to repay us by, at the end of the war, occupying Palestine from the Ottoman Turks, who, remember, were allied with the Germans, mm-hmm. and letting us immigrate there. The British took that deal. They issued the Balfour Declaration. And all of a sudden, somebody flicked the switch, and there's this intense propaganda drive in the United States to drive us into war. And this is a fact that Zionists, in their own writings, confirm. So this is not, quote-unquote, conspiracy theory.
Sure.
This is why the United States got into the war.
Absolutely. I find that the best information seems to come from the Jewish people themselves, and then they can't refute it. I mean, if you're using their sources, they certainly can't come back to you and say, oh, this is just you're just making all this stuff up and you're just anti-Semitic and all this, all the other tactics that they use. Okay, Mike, we are going to go to a quick 3-minute break and then we will be right back. And again, listeners, please go to the website, tomatobubble.com, and look on the left-hand side for all of the links and go down and look at the anti-New York Times PDF. Okay, be right back.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Deanna, and our guest today is Mike King. He is the author. Whoops, I muted myself. Sorry about that. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Mike King, the author of the NWO Forbidden History, 1763 to 2013. You may obtain a copy of that, a PDF copy of that, a hard copy of that, or a Word document at tomatobubble.com. Okay, so Hitler took office January 1st, 1933, became Chancellor of Germany, did not really say anything about the Jews, didn't make any policy changes, but they understood that there were going to be some changes, and so they immediately decided that they better take some sort of action. But anyway, we can go back to what you were talking about before we went to the break, Mike.
Okay, well, let's back up again to the towards the conclusion of World War One. So, as the tide began to turn, Woodrow Wilson offered Germany, quote unquote, peace without surrender. So, this was a trick. This was the propaganda term used. In essence, let's stop the fighting, lay down your arms, retreat from the front lines, and we'll work out a nice peace, and nobody will be the victor. In Germany, partly because there were deluded people in Germany who just wanted to end the war by any means, but also because there were traitors in the German government, agents of the New World Order, Marxists, Zionists, they had their own reasons for wanting to lose the war. So Germany laid down its arms, retreated, and prostrated themselves before the victorious Allies, who put together a peace conference. The Paris Peace Conference, from which emerged the infamous Treaty of Versailles, which Germany was never given any say in, and it was the most brutal, inhumane peace ever imposed, probably since the days of Genghis Khan. There were 440 clauses in the Treaty of Versailles, 400 of which were dedicated towards the punishment of Germany. Germany, the country that did not want the war, the country that throughout the war had a peace offer on the table to stop fighting, mind you, they were raped at the Treaty of Versailles. There were massive reparations, monetary reparations. We all know about how that destroyed the German currency, the hyperinflation, wheelbarrows full of money, life savings wiped out. That's fairly commonly known, but what a lot of people overlook is the fact that there were massive chunks of German territory stripped away from Germany and reassigned, including Western Prussia, which was given to the newly formed nation of Poland. So you might ask, what happened to those 6 or 7 million Germans living in Western Prussia? Well, they were told, look, you're not Germany anymore. Get the hell out. Pack your things and go. Massive ethnic cleansing. Millions of Germans evicted from their homes. This chunk of Western Prussia cut off Eastern Prussia. So now you have a chunk of land, Eastern Prussia, totally separated from the rest of the German mainland, isolated. And so there was a Polish corridor, it was called, running right through Germany. Now, that wasn't enough for the newly formed Polish dictatorship. In the early 20s, they actually attacked Germany, seeking more territory. There was a series of minor border wars. So this gives a little bit of more background to the what happened on September 1st, 1939, which the propaganda historians would have us believe was the day Hitler just woke up and said, hey, let me do Poland today. No, there's a long backstory behind it, including mass murder, ethnic cleansing, the humiliation and degradation you can't believe. So this is very important to keep in mind as we move forward into the 1930s, what was done to Germany.
Exactly. And during that whole time, it's about 13 years, as you mentioned, there was such persecution against the German nationals who remained there because a great deal of the people, I mean, they'd been there for generations. For centuries, and they certainly weren't going to just up and leave, and so many of them remained, and they were persecuted unmercifully, and then you had the expulsion after World War II, which was deadly, absolutely deadly. So all this time during that 6 year period of time, how did Hitler handle the relationship between Germany and Poland?
Well, the amazing thing is it's not as if he came into power and said, okay, it's going to be my goal to get these territories back. That wasn't the case at all. During that period of time from 33 to 39, as the mistreatment of the Germans and Poles intensified and degenerated into, like, real hardcore oppression and murder carried out by guerrilla gangs, non-uniform guerrilla gangs of Bolsheviks, who I think we could fairly deduce were Jews, killing, robbing these Germans while the Polish government looked the other way. That whole time, he still tried to reconcile the situation peacefully.
Right. Okay. Oh, we're going to a break. We'll be right back with our guest.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord, 550 tensile strength, military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 links. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet. Only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation. CampingSurvival.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Mike King. He is the author of NWO, Forbidden History, 1763 to 2013, and that is available at tomatobubble.com. And you were talking about some of the things that were happening let's start with 1930. I'm down on page 103. And on December 5th, 1931, you talk about the Cathedral of Christ the Savior. Could you tell us about that and Kaganovich and what he did?
Okay, Kaganovich was Joe Stalin's right-hand man. You could even argue to some extent he was the power behind Stalin. And he was a Jewish communist, a notorious thug. He engineered the Ukrainian famine, just a vicious mass killer. He gave the order for the destruction of the Cathedral of Christ the Savior, which was the grandest cathedral in the Orthodox world. I mean, 300 feet high. I mean, a third the size of the Empire State Building, and just ornate and beautiful, and it was cherished by the Russian Christian population. They demolished it. They detonated it. And this kind of ties into World War II, because you have to understand, in the backdrop, there's this fear, not only in Germany, but in Europe, that these monsters could take over the whole of Europe. So it's definitely related to World War II.
Absolutely.
But he demolished the cathedral, and there's video of this, black and white video, this religious and cultural icon just demolished it. And in its place, they plan to build a monument to the Soviets, to Vladimir Lenin. This cathedral, however, was rebuilt fairly recently, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, Russia now, especially under Putin, is rediscovering its Orthodox Christian past. So it was rebuilt, and that is the cathedral that those filthy little Marxist harlots known as PUSSY Riot, that Vladimir, who protested Vladimir Putin in the cathedral, that is the cathedral rebuilt. That's the same. They rebuilt it to the old specifications, and there it is, just as grand as it ever was.
Right. Now, it's very interesting to note that during the Soviet years, that there was not one single synagogue that was destroyed, but they did destroy the majority of all the Christian churches and buildings.
Well, of course, because what most people don't understand, you won't see this in the history books, is that the Bolshevik movement, the brains and the energy and the majority behind it were Jews, were Jewish
right.
Bolsheviks. There's no question about that.
Communism is Judaism, and all Jews are communist, but not all communists are Jews.
That's right. But certainly the brains and the energy behind the operation. I mean, the Russian Revolution was a Jewish revolution.
Absolutely.
When the Tsar was toppled, there was dancing in the streets of Brooklyn, in the Jewish quarters of Brooklyn.
Right. In fact, in every country that the Bolsheviks went into, the communists went into, it was the Jews in those countries that were welcoming the tanks, the Soviet tanks. And then what they would do would be to start a riot and start attacking the local police. And this happened in Latvia and in many countries. And it was the Jews who were putting on the welcome. And it was pretty awful.
Yeah, it certainly is. So this is the type of thing that's happening in the backdrop of Europe as we approach that fateful day in 1939. One other thing I'd like to mention before we get into the actual invasion of Poland is, the Zionists, the globalists, the Marxists, that whole filthy alliance that was aligned against Germany, they saw Poland as the match. They basically set up Poland to instigate Hitler and drag him into the war. And all promises were made to Poland, when this is done, you'll get a big chunk of Poland land. Don't worry, we got your back. And again, this is documented in the diaries of the Polish ambassador to Washington. He was speaking to FDR about Hitler's proposal to resolve the corridor situation peacefully. And FDR is telling him, no deals, stay firm. And the Polish ambassador writes how he felt that the Jews around Roosevelt were trying to push Germany into war. Late August 1939, Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain of England is pressured by the Jewish Zionist power in Britain to make a military pact with Poland. It's called the Polish-British Common Defense Pact. This was inked just 4 days before the fighting erupted. It committed England to military action in the event that Poland was invaded.
Right.
Once this was signed, now Poland had a green light, and these Jewish-Polish, quote-unquote, terrorists really began killing Germans, slitting throats, rape. It was just horrific. The German people were brought to revolt over this, and the border incursions intensified. And still, at the 11th hour, Hitler is scrambling. He's calling for the Polish ambassador to come meet with him. He's calling for meetings with England. But the fix was in. He didn't know about this secret pact. So finally, Germany went in. They had to go in. And that's how the war started. And immediately, England and France declared war upon Germany.
Right. Exactly. They didn't have to, but they were just waiting to do that.
Oh, yeah. It's very similar to what... I mean, this is a template, Deanna. You see it happening now with regards to Syria and Iran, the constant baiting and debating and debating. Frankly, when you look at the series of events that led up to the war, I'm astonished at the degree of tolerance and forbearance that Hitler showed towards Poland. If it was me, I think I would have went in 38.
Certainly.
Yeah. So they were baited. England and France declare war, and Germany declares peace. We have statements from Hitler saying, why should this war be fought again? I have done nothing contrary to British interests. I seek friendship and reconciliation with France. He tried through third-party channels. They approached Sweden to approach England to say, let's not do this. So for the 7 or 8 month period between the British and French declaration of war and the actual fighting in the Western theater, which would be April, May, 1940, during that period, you have Germany making intense efforts to persuade England and France to rescind their war declarations. Meanwhile, England and France are amassing a force of 600,000 troops in northern France, equipped with tanks, armored vehicles, artillery, and so on. I mean, this is a major military force. So Germany is begging for peace, and England, France, the Zionists and the Marxists pulling the string.
Right. And the Allies had been preparing for war since 1936 or before that. And didn't Hitler also call Roosevelt? There's a booklet called A Few Minutes Before Midnight. Are you familiar with that booklet?
No, that's interesting. I know of his attempts to make outreach to the British, but I didn't know that he tried to contact America as well.
Yeah, he did. He called Roosevelt, and he also, you know, gave speeches, and it was just an awful kind of thing that nobody was listening, and it was just when you think about this period and what he tried to do, and all the propaganda in this country, as well as in Britain, and all of it, you know, talking about atrocity stories and talking, you know, they say if anything works, it will be an atrocity story, particularly if you involve children or some vulnerable group of people. Just tell an atrocity story, and the population, the public, will fall for it every time.
Well, that's right. We're seeing it now. And one other thing I should point out that happened during this period of time, during the buildup, is, our Uncle Joe, Stalin, Uncle Joe as FDR and Truman would refer to him,
mm-hmm.
He invaded Poland during the same time, just 2 weeks later. He had a non-aggression pact with Poland. And while Poland was occupied with the fight with Germany, in came the Soviets from the east, and they came in, killing. They rounded up 10,000 Polish army officers, trucked them out to Katyn Forest, and put a bullet apiece to each of their heads.
Right, and then blame the Germans.
They tried to get away with blaming the Germans, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they did to Poland, and while this is happening now, the Polish government is appealing to Britain. They said, hey, what about that common defense pact we signed, Clause 1A? Soviets are here, you got to do something. And the British response was, well, we can't get involved in this. So you see, the Poles were played for suckers.
Sure.
Nobody cared about the defense of Poland. It is really a tragic story what happened to Poland. It's foolish, militaristic, imperialistic rulers. They led that country to ruin.
And, of course, this was all set up, as you indicate, with the Versailles Treaty and with all of the treaties right after the Paris Peace Conference. And they set it up. They knew what they were going to do years in advance, and they set it up. They plan decades in advance.
Oh, they do. They're great chess players.
Yes, they are. And then what they did also, what the communists did, is that they moved a lot of the Jewish people out of Poland, way into central Russia in order to get them out of the warfare environment, to save them as a saving kind of a thing.
Right, yeah. I would imagine Kaganovich had a hand in that.
Oh, yes, obviously, yes. And remember that this was the same time, just a few years before, is when they formalized the Bir Baijan, which was way over towards China, as a place for them to be. So they were taking care of the Jews.
Oh, yeah, they were privileged. I mean, Alexander Solzhenitsyn writes about this, how privileged they were during the Soviet era.
Sure.
You know, of course, they like to claim that they were also persecuted. No, that's nonsense.
Certainly. And so when you look at the numbers, you look at the numbers in Poland before the war, and you look at the numbers after the war and say, oh, look at all these Jews that are disappeared. Oh, they've been murdered. No, they were in Russia, because
right.
That's where the Soviets moved them.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Okay, so we have this horrible war, and we have people in this country who were actually in favor of Hitler, who were, well, you also had the German-American Bund, and people were talking about Hitler and what a good job he was doing. You also had people in Britain who favored him, and they wanted to know more about him, and so they just did away with these people. I mean,
Well, there was King Edward, King of England in 1936, was openly admired Adolf Hitler.
Absolutely.
And there wasn't going to be any war with Germany with him as king, because he
right.
was the type of king who was willing to assert himself. So he had to go. His first month on the throne, there was an assassination attempt against King Edward.
Right.
That failed. 6 months later, all of a sudden, scandal. King Edward is due to marry an American divorcee. Oh, my God, he's got to give up the throne. It was totally manufactured by the Jewish press.
Sure. And then Churchill put out a hit on his brother, the Duke of Kent, when the Duke of Kent was going to meet with the Germans and sign some papers. So Churchill put out a hit on him, and he died in an airplane crash on his way to meet with the Germans.
Wow, that I didn't know. There's so much. I mean, every day I learn something new about what's going on back then.
Oh, we all do. When you're researching, when you're reading, you're going to learn something new every day.
You usually learn these things by accident. You're researching a totally different matter, and then there's a little nugget pops up that relates to something else. You're like, wow.
Sure. And you're not going to get this if you're reading People magazine.
Oh, well, that's for damn sure. Or a high school or college history book or anything.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yep.
And so who else did they get rid of? Well, they squeezed out Neville Chamberlain, who was a reluctant warrior the whole time. They had to get rid of him.
And they made him look like he was just a dunce, when in fact the Brits were quite happy with what he was doing. And then, of course, the war party came in, and they vilified him and got rid of him. And it's awful.
Yeah.
And that's how they do it. When there's a political assassination, when there's political death, political murder, it is for political reasons. It's never an accident. It's never a lone gunman.
Oh, absolutely. They just target people individually, and they take them down.
Right.
So that's how we got to where we are. There's also another little detail that most history books neglect to mention. Certainly FDR didn't talk about it much. It was the Soviet Union in early 1940 invades Finland with an army of 450,000 troops. They bomb Helsinki. They kill 200 people. The Finns put up a heroic defense to hold them back. He later swallows up Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, and eastern Romania. In just a few months' time, Uncle Joe Stalin has invaded 6 countries. What is the reaction of the world Jewish Zionist globalist press? Oh, naughty, naughty, don't do that, Uncle Joe. That's about it. And
mm-hmm.
the war preparations continue against peaceful Germany. What hypocrisy.
Exactly. Well, I'm just going through your book. It's just really amazing. I hope that all of the listeners will take advantage of this wonderful, wonderful resource and download this as a PDF file. Share it with your family and friends. Be sure and send the link to this website, tomatobubble.com. Send the link to all of your family and your friends and tell them, download this book, learn what really, really happened, how World War II got started. Like you say, this is such an easy, easy read. And the pictures, I mean, the pictures just add so much. And you have, you've got newspaper articles that talk about the international war against Germany. You've got everything in here. Oh, my goodness. What an impressive work. All righty, we are going to a quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on Earth.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Mike King. He is the author of NWO, stands for New World Order, Forbidden History, 1763 to 2013. The website is tomatobubble.com. Remember that if you have a comment or question, simply email that to comment@spingola.com. And we will take calls in the next hour after the first break at 800-313-9443. Mike, your book is incredible. It's just the best thing that I've seen regarding this period. It's concise. It's terrific.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, what motivated me to put it together is, you know, none of this is original. I mean, there's probably a few things that I discovered on my own. This is a distillation of so many books, so much research. And my contribution is being able to distill it into small bites that people have the time to read, see the pictures. Don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting your listeners are simple-minded at all. I'm talking about the general public. An idiot could read this stuff, look at the pictures, and go from a, if they're open-minded, they can go from being a total clueless lemming to being highly, highly informed in a very small amount of time. That's the unique contribution of this, in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And our listeners are very astute. They're very, very well educated. But they have friends and family, and they have been looking and trying to figure out, how am I going to introduce my family to true history? And your book is really just an excellent, excellent source so that they can do that. Because, and as you say, you have all these pictures. And you've taken images from the period. For instance, when you're talking about the boycott against German industry, you actually have the image that they were using at the time in the propaganda here in this country. You have pictures about of storefronts that talk about the boycott. I mean, you've just done a fabulous, fabulous job. It's a wonderful compilation.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very proud of it, and the feedback I get every day in the email is so gratifying, because a lot of it comes from people who didn't know anything before. You know, too often us, for lack of a better term, conspiracy theorists, you know, we operate in an echo chamber and we preach to the choir. We've got to reach out, and that's what this book does so well, and this is what all the feedback tells me. People who are high school kids writing to me, they're like, oh, I never knew this stuff. I can't wait to, like, hit my teacher with this. It's really awesome resource. Please, all your listeners, you need to bookmark tomatobubble.com. There's so much stuff there. It'll keep you busy for a long time.
Absolutely. And they can get this book in a hard copy so that they can lend it out. How much is the book in a hard copy?
Well, if someone wants to read the first 180 pages of history, they can read that right there online from 1763 right up until the eve of World War II, 1939, free. If they want the passwords to read the rest, I ask for a donation. The minimum is $5. It's worth a whole lot more, but I want this to be accessible.
Right.
If they want the PDF, it's $9, and the hard copy is a little more. All the information is there.
Okay. Alrighty, we are going to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Financial